And turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter 37. What I'm going to be dealing tonight is when life deals you lemons. That's what God gave to me this week, when life deals you lemons. We're going to be talking about Joseph and his brothers. It's one of my favorite stories I like to go back to quite often and reread, just because of the bond that brothers have. And we read of some difficulties that Joseph experienced with his brothers. But I'm sure that there were some funny times that they had together, some good times that they laughed about. And every time I go through this, I begin to rehearse some of the things that my brothers thought were funny when I was growing up. And I never understood why somebody would think it'd be funny to give their brother some toilet water because he's thirsty and he was grounded in his room. But he got a big kick out of that. I never understood why two brothers were sharing a treehouse with the older brother, and two brothers were in the lower part of it, and for some reason they thought it'd be funny and told us that it was raining that day when it wasn't rain. I don't understand those things, but that's what brothers do. And if you want to know what was done, then you just look at the guy who's laughing up here. He'll tell you everything. But I like the fact that brothers have a special bond. And it just sticks with him. And matter of fact, Jeff was texting me yesterday after he had a day of plowing snow, and he just wanted to chat. And that's what brothers do from time to time. And so it's fun just to kind of rehearse those things. And little do you know that Jeff was, he tormented us as we're growing up. And the day that he left the house was one of the greatest days that we've ever experienced in the Springer household, because we didn't get tortured as much. But actually, it wasn't. It was actually one of the saddest days of my life, to be honest with you. I thought God was breaking up our family. Do you remember that, Mom? I remember that day very specifically, actually. But let's go ahead and turn to the book of Genesis 37. We're going to read verses 14 through 36. And honestly, this story here, the lesson I'm going to begin into, is inspired to me by a young lady that I've known for the past couple years, and I will get into that here in a little bit. Verse number 14, we're going to pick it up here. And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And a man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek thy brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, they lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content." Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt written pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down to the grave under my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and a captain of the guard. Let's pray before we get going any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us. We thank you for your word that we're able to read from it this evening. God, I pray as we look out here again tonight, many are sick, and God, I just pray that you just put your hand of healing upon them. Blessing this time that we have been so graciously honored to be in your house tonight and to be able to open up your word. And God, I pray that you just speak to our hearts tonight. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. When life deals you lemons, as we just read this story, could you not imagine and believe that Joseph was dealt a bowl of lemons here? Imagine with me, if you could, imagine being 15 years old and having type 2 diabetes and cystic fibrosis and also living in a pandemic with a virus that attacks your lungs. Talk about being dealt a basket full of lemons in your life. Think about that just for a minute. You would probably live your life in fear because of what is going on in the world. But so often we focus on the basket of lemons instead of what God is doing in your life spiritually. See, things come in our lives for us to grow spiritually so that we can grow closer to God. They're called trials. And through our trials that God allows us to have, it's the time for us to look for Him. He's using that time in your life to grow you spiritually. Unfortunately, some don't like that process and they walk away on occasions. The 15-year-old I'm talking about is a young lady that I've known for 2 years, and you would not know of the difficulties she faces on a daily basis, the fear that's in her life. Because she isn't focused on the lemons here. As a matter of fact, if you were to see her, you would never know of the situation that her life is in. Her smile melts you. As soon as I see her, every time that I'm allowed to, her smile just brightens up the room. It melts you. And with that smile, it shows that she cares and it shows that she has a love for individuals. She's not focusing on the basket of lemons that is in her life. What she is focusing upon is the God that's doing a work in her life tremendously. So she has a smile that melts. She has an attitude that is contagious. I have never known her to have a negative attitude. I've always known her to be positive, upbeat. And it says a lot to me about her. It shows me where she is at in her relationship with God. And with that being said, I see her love for God is inspiring not only to me, but others that she is surrounded by. See, she's not focusing on that basket of lemons that you and I might focus on. Yeah, we get down in a dumps when we think about, the finances might not be there for us to pay the mortgage. Yeah, we might be dealt with a sickness or some other ailments in our life. The car might not start sometime this week, and we begin to focus on the negativity of those situations. Something might not go right at work, and on we can go about the basket of lemons that we might be dealt with. But instead of focusing on those issues, what we should rather do is focus upon our Lord and Savior. See, even in the life of Joseph, as he's gone through these events in his life, matter of fact, this is just one of the first events. We didn't go through many of the other events that had happened in his life. Well, one of the things that I've noticed about with the basket of lemons that Joseph was had in his life, his focus stayed upon God. God was using that time to get Joseph to be in a spot where he needed to be later on in life. See, we don't always see God working on our behalf during those times, but I will guarantee you this, God is working on you and he's working on me during those times. What I have seen through this young lady is what we all need to apply in our lives. When we think life is nothing but a lemon, And what I'm getting at here with this is her desire to rise above her circumstances. See, so often we focus on the negativity in our life, and we don't rise above our circumstances. If you look at the life of Joseph, you will see that he rose above his circumstances. He didn't do it by himself. He did it with the grace of God in his life. God worked in his life, and he knew that he couldn't do it by himself, and he needed a Lord and Savior to do those things for him. He didn't wallow in his tears. He didn't have pity parties at night that we read of, but what we know of is his relationship with God was very strong. Sure, life gets her down, this young lady I'm talking about. I'm sure life got Joseph down at times, but life will get us down. Imagine this, her immune system is threatened quite often. And I've often heard her mom say, you know, I understand that we're living in a time of a crisis and a time of a pandemic, and we're scared for our daughter, but we also know that God is still on the throne. We also know that we need to live wisely and do what God wants us to do, but we're not going to live in fear. We're not going to get caught up in the basket of lemons that we've been dealt with. Sure, her sugar levels will go berserk at times, and I've seen this take place. Her mom now has a device on her phone, and as soon as her sugar level drops, she immediately goes and grabs some sugar to lift those things back up. And those of you who have diabetes in here, you know what I'm talking about, the struggle that you face on a daily basis. And so she goes through these growing pains in her life. But what I've seen is her constantly looking for the Lord, never a negative attitude about her. And it says so much about her. But her love for the Lord keeps growing. That is filtrated into her family because her parents have a great, tremendous love for the Lord and her siblings as well because they're on this journey with her. See, what am I getting at? Yes, life might seem that we might have a basket full of lemons, but we have to understand tonight is we have a God who is in control of our lives. We have a God who is very interested in every single thing that we do. And he has a desire to grow us. And we ought to be thankful. Think about this. When God allows those things that we consider lemons in our lives, we ought to be thankful that God is wanting to use you during those times. Why should we be thankful for that? Because you're his child. First of all, he has a right to. And we need to be thankful for those opportunities of growth in our lives because that's what they are. What I have seen is a family accept what God has given them. They don't look at this basket full of lemons, but what I have seen is a family who has a great relationship with God. God did not put us in this life to murmur and to complain, but what I have seen through this and through many other people in my life that I've been in contact with is God gives us the grace and he gives us the strength to carry on. He knows what we can handle and he knows what we can't handle. He also knows right now that we have many folks in our church who are sick, and he is working on their behalf. He is healing their bodies. We might look, oh man, church is empty this morning, and what a basket of lemons we have been delivered here. No, think about what God is doing in their life. Think about the grace that God is showing upon them. You might think here that Joseph was dealt a bad hand in life, and we can probably say, yeah, he was. His brothers hated him. His brother wanted to kill him. His brothers decided, oh, no, I'm not going to kill him. Let's sell him into, let's put him into slavery. Let's profit off him for just a little bit of money. 20 pieces of silver, that's not much. And you can say he was dealt a bad hand. But most certainly we can dwell on those things. But when we dwell upon those things, it gets us down and our attitude changes and we begin to focus upon our situation rather than focusing upon God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to focus upon him. But it doesn't do us a bit of good to dwell on the negative. So often we can have such a negative attitude and begin to focus on the negative things about us that are around us. And we don't focus upon the positive things. We don't focus upon what God is doing in our life. We don't focus upon what God is doing in somebody else's life. And I will tell you this, God is working here in this church. God is working in your lives. God is providing for you. He's giving you the finances to pay your mortgage. He's allowing you to have good health so that you can continue to work and things of those nature. And those are things that we take for granted. We don't focus on those things. We focus upon the negative. Why did God allow this to happen in Joseph's life in order to come forth as gold? Sometimes you'll have to go through the fire. There is a purifying process. Joseph here, he had to go through a purging process. He wasn't at the place where God wanted him at this point in time in his life. And God had to do a work in his life. And so when you think that you have a basket full of lemons, what we have to understand is, hey, God's wanting to purge me. God's wanting me to come forth as gold, and I have to go through that fire process. It's a purifying process. In other words, purging had to take place in his life to get him to where God wanted him to be. And that's a great place to be, is a place where God wants him to be. Most people, if given a chance to switch with Joseph, would probably tuck their tail between their legs. After reading the story, I'd probably sit there and say to myself, I wouldn't want to be in Joseph's shoes. I wouldn't want to be in his situation where he was hated and despised by his brethren, and they sold him into slavery and had to go through that process and then to be accused of taking on Potiphar's wife and being accused of other things. But it was a purging process for him. Only one man could have done this, and that was Joseph. But God gave him the grace to get through these things. But what you see is Joseph, what he does, he accepts the situation that he is in, and he continues to serve God. During those times that we think that we have a basket full of lemons, is not a time for us to draw away and quit the walk that God has called us to, but it is a time for us to keep on serving God. It makes us stronger. Just imagine being rejected by your families, your family members, the ones who should love and have your back, not to turn their back upon you. What a difficult situation that Joseph was in, thinking that he had a band of brothers that loved and adored him, but in reality, they couldn't stand him. You know, some say Joseph had a cocky attitude, and we can probably agree with those things. But aren't you and I, are we not to look beyond all of our faults and be able to see beyond those things, and regardless of their cockiness, of their arrogance, or their prideful attitude, are we not supposed to look beyond those things and love them for who they are? That's what we're supposed to do. But Joseph's brothers, they couldn't stand him. So they took actions in their own hands. Relationships with your siblings can be very challenging at times. There are a lot of growth spurts during times of growing up, even into your adulthood. It's challenging. But being despised by your siblings is a pretty hurtful process. Imagine that basket full of lemons in your life. They originally were going to let him die in a pit. Think about this. As his brothers begin to grab Joseph, because that's what they had to do, they all had to come upon him. The group of brothers had to go against a brother, grab him physically, and place him in a pit to where he was not able to get out. And then they were going to leave him to die. That picture alone is horrifying to me, to see this take place. So they were going to let him die in a pit. But they decided to sell him instead. Thank God for a change of plans in their mind. Well, I applaud their willingness to let him out of the pit. No, they're still guilty. They're still guilty of the very fact that they wanted to kill their brother. But then they see, as we read in Scripture, that they sold him into slavery. On top of that, after this was said and done, they led their father believe that he was dead. And as you see and as you read in Scripture, his father put sackcloth upon his head and he mourned for days. There is a typical period for mourning during these times when it comes to the Jews, and that's usually between 30 to 40 days of mourning. They will bury their dead within the 24 hours, but then they will weep and they will mourn. They will have dinners for at least 40 days. Imagine that process. And so for a time, Joseph's father was grieving. He was mourning because he thought his son was dead. And why did he mourn for his son? Because he had a great love for him. He loved his other sons as well. But now he's faced with the reality that he did not know that his son was sold into slavery. But now he's faced with the reality thinking that he has lost his son. And the hurt and the pain that came upon his life at that time is very devastating to him. So they led to his father believe that he was dead. Think about this. You talk about life deals you lemons. Think about what Joseph's father was going through at this time. Think about how he was probably questioning God during this process. God, why would you allow my son to die? Why would you allow him not to live anymore? Imagine that mourning process that he took on in his life. Imagine the guilt that probably came upon his life. Why wasn't I the one who went down and sought my sons and seen where they're at and saw and seen what their well-being was? Why wasn't I the one that did those things? And now my son's life is gone from this. I should have been the one who went out there. Think about the guilt that was going on in his father's life at this point in time, all because of the hateful attitude that his brothers had towards him at this point in time. Those are a pretty sad basket of lemons upon his father's life at this point in time. This would continue in the life of Joseph. Lemons here, lemons there, lemons everywhere. But here is the great part about Joseph. He did not focus on the lemons in his life. This young lady, as I described here earlier, has yet, to my knowledge, begin to focus on the lemons in her life. She has a great attitude. She has a great zeal for life. I have watched her these last couple years. She's involved in volleyball. She's involved in basketball. And I've watched her frail body, even she's not as athletic as most of the other girls are, but she's out there every single time that she can get out there giving it her best. Not focusing upon her ailments in her life, not focusing upon the lemons that she has been dealt, but she's out there living life to the fullest and giving God the praise and the glory that he deserves. See, your attitude on things can change everything. We've heard Pastor the last couple weeks, we need a change of attitude. If you don't like green beans growing up, you know what? Change your attitude. If you don't like spinach growing up, change your attitude. By the way, the older I've gotten, I begin to like those things. And the reason why I like those things is because I don't have the taste of my taste buds anymore. So I can take those things on in my life. But the attitude that she has now is so tremendous. Why? Because she's not focusing upon the lemons that she's been dealt, but rather she is focusing upon God. What a great attitude to have. And Joseph here, he didn't focus on the lemons. He focused upon his God. He was more concerned about his relationship with his father. And his relationship and his desire and his love grew on a daily basis. He grew closer and closer to his Lord. See, when we begin to focus upon our lemons, what takes place? We begin to draw further away from God. And we draw closer to our lemons instead of drawing to God. What God was doing, he was in the process of doing something great in Joseph's life. As I watched this young lady for the past couple years, I've heard a gentleman say to her, "I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in your life. God's got something special for you. God's got some great plan in your life, and I cannot wait to see it unfold." And he is so dead on with that statement towards her. I'm looking forward to the day what God is going to do in her life. The plan that he has for her has to be outstanding. has to be something totally amazing. But she's in this process. God's allowing her to go through the process. He's purifying her. He's purging her so that she can come forth as gold. So God was in the process of doing this in the life of Joseph as well. The wrong attitude from Joseph could have very well changed the outcome of his life. And you and I, we need to do an attitude check at times. I've heard this in my life on many different occasions. Chad, you need to change your attitude. You have a negative attitude about this because your heart's not in the right place. You know, that used to burn me. That used to infuriate me. And I used to get mad at that statement. But how true that is. It's your attitude that will affect things. And I will tell you this, God can change your attitude on some things if you'll ask him to do those things. So this young lady that I mentioned earlier, she's in a process of God doing something great in her life. Not her life only, but her family as well. What a privilege, folks, to be chosen by God to go through life so that he can and will do something great in your life. What an amazing process and what an amazing time that could be in your life. The words that I often hear from her mom is, "We just keep trusting God." You know what that tells me every time I hear that statement? What that tells me from her is she's not focusing upon the basket of lemons that a lot of us would think that's what that is. She is focusing on what God is doing in her life, and she is trusting God. And I am overwhelmed with her great attitude, because it's not an easy thing for a parent to see their kid go through something in life that they have no control over. I remember my brother, Wayne, when we were growing up, a lot of you folks don't know this, but he has cerebral palsy. And with that being said, one of his foot would always turn in. And so he always had a different walk compared to some of the other kids. And I know my brother, he didn't let that get him down. And I can remember on many different occasions some of the therapeutic things that my folks would try to do for him during those times to help straighten out his foot. I remember on one occasion they decided that they were going to give him piano lessons, hoping that would help strengthen this foot muscle by working the pedal on the piano. I would never have thought of that, but my parents thought of that. And I remember going with him on many different occasions to his piano teacher on 21st and Avenue C. I still see the house every single day. I look at that house, and I always envision my brother being in there at the piano. And I believe Andrea was there at the time as well on some occasions. And so they would do some things. I remember one of the times that they put braces upon both of his feet. And the braces I'm talking about, and the only description I can give you, if you folks have ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, those are the exact same braces that my brother wore. And so they put that upon his legs. Hopefully that will straighten him out. It's not easy for a parent to see those things in their young child's life. My daughter, she just recently had her surgery. And I tell you what, it hit me 2 weeks ago. Has she struggling to walk with a brace on? And I begin to think to myself, now I know what my mom and dad felt like watching my brother for years struggling to walk correctly. See, we don't think about those things because it can get the parents down. But her attitude with this, we just keep trusting God. Every time that I've seen my family go through something very physical in life, the thing that I've been taught that will always remain with me until my dying days, just keep trusting God. God's got something great in store for us. And so this should be true in our lives. Whatever we are dealt with in life, what do we need to do? We just need to trust God. So often we try to put our trust in doctors. We try to put our trust in ourselves. But in reality, we need to put our trust in God. Trusting God that he will give the doctors the wisdom to understand how to treat us in those situations. Trusting God that he will provide our finances that we'll need in life during those times. Putting our trust in him. And so this is what we need to do in our lives. All we have to do is just trust in Him. You know, that's one of the hardest things that you and I can do. We sing a song so often in our church. It's called Trust and Obey. Easy words, right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. But those are the hardest words to put into practice. Those are the hardest words to live by. Because so often we don't trust God. We don't trust His decision making. We don't understand why He does those things. But I can tell you this tonight. God knows what He's doing. God is still on a throne. He's still working in your life. So trust in Him. The worst thing that we can do during these times of lemons is to become discouraged and walk away from God. Lemons leave a bitter taste in our mouths, do they not? Have you ever seen a young child? A parent would give them a lemon and just watching their face squirm. That's what lemons do to us. But the worst thing that we can do is walk away from God. Don't become discouraged. Don't set your eyes upon yourself. Don't set your eyes upon the situation that you're in. Rather, be encouraged, knowing that God is working in your life. Look to Jesus and ask Him during this time, Lord, what is it that You want me to learn from this situation? I have heard that in my life as I was growing up. Instead of focusing upon the negativity in your life, why don't you ask God, what is it that You want me to learn from this situation? And it is so true, because God's got a lesson that He is trying to teach us. So often, we're blind to those things. And so we don't look to God during these times. And it's during these times that we begin to lose faith. But no longer should we look at them as a basket full of lemons. But what we should do is look at them as a basket full of blessings that God is trying to bestow upon your life. We might not see it at that point in time, but I will guarantee you this, when God is working, He will bless in your life. Joseph spent many years away from his family. Think about this. He's got a dad for years thinking that he's dead. His brothers have sold him off into slavery, and they have forgotten about him. But I can imagine the guilt that faced their life every single day. Not knowing of their well-being, but his time would come that they would be reunited, but under very different circumstances. What I've seen in the life of Joseph is something that you and I need to take in consideration. He was not bitter towards them. He could have allowed those basket of lemons to become rotten and to leave him a bitter taste in his mouth and become so disgusted with them that he would have an absolute hatred towards them. But upon the time that he was able to be reunited with them, what did he do with his brothers? He forgave them. See, he didn't focus on the basket of lemons. If he was focused upon the basket of lemons, he would have said, hey, do you remember what you did to me when I was a kid? Do you remember when you wanted to leave me in a pit to die? Do you remember when you sold me into slavery? He didn't bring those situations back up and throw it in their face, but rather he forgave his brothers. He very well could have shunned them. He could have put them in prison because of the position that he was in. But his lemons had been turned into blessings. And through that, he was going to be able to bless his brothers and his father as well. God used this time in his life to grow him, and indeed he grew. So what do you do when life deals you lemons? You simply look to God, and you simply trust Him. And He will turn those lemons into blessings. Also, as I said earlier, count it a blessing that God is using you. Be thankful that He has a desire to use you. After all, you're His child, and He has a right to do so. If He can deliver men like Joseph and Job and many other men, He can deliver you. And think of the impact that you can have on the lives of others that are around you. Again, the young lady that I mentioned earlier is having a tremendous impact on my life. I get to watch her grow on a weekly basis. I get to watch her attitude. I get to watch her demeanor with people. And I get to watch her smile get bigger and bigger every single time that I see her. And I ask myself a question, why is it getting bigger? Why is it more delightful this time compared to 2 days ago? Because she's not focused upon the limits in her life. She's focused upon God. What a tremendous testimony that she has. And I'm seeing God being glorified through her. What a great testimony. See, we can focus on those baskets full of lemons. I will guarantee you this. When we focus upon them, we're not able to focus upon what God is trying to do in our lives. And that's where you and I need to be. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. We thank you for your word that you've allowed us to hear tonight. God, I thank you for the examples of many people that you've allowed me to be surrounded by. And you've allowed me to watch and you've allowed me to grow from them. God, I pray tonight that you continue to help us during our times of great difficulties, that we would continue to look upon you, not look upon the situation, but God, just look how you're wanting to work in our lives. Help us understand it's a time of purging. You're wanting to purify us. You're wanting us to come forth as gold. And so, God, during those times, I pray that you would allow us not to get down in those circumstances, but Lord, help us to rise above those circumstances and to look to you. We pray, Lord, you'd dismiss us as we leave here, get us home safely, bring us back safely this Wednesday, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.